Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to share with you this morning something that we need to be reminded of. You know how this works. We all need to be reminded of things. Reminded, and maybe for some it'll be a fresh awareness, and it's something that we need to probably heighten our awareness about and probably move closer to the forefront of our life when it comes to, you know, how we make decisions and how we function as believers in relationship with one another. And so I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about that. If you were to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm just going to kind of pluck out verse 29 here. But the passage that Paul's writing about, he's talking about husbands and wives. And he goes into this parallel of what this relationship should really look like is like Christ and the church, Christ being the bridegroom and the church being the bride, and how their relationship is supposed to function and work and their responsibilities to one another. And he uses this human physical parallel to get our attention that, you know, we recognize that relationship, and to get our attention to look at, hey, here's a deeper spiritual truth of something that is common to us in the way of husband and wife or marriage. And he says this in verse 29. I should start with verse 28. It'll help us. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. We, the church, we are known in Scripture as his body, okay? The believers together are his body. And, you know, Jesus, you know, he ascended. He sent his Holy Spirit, right? And this Holy Spirit needs a body, us, his body, the body of Christ. And how we're supposed to function and have relationship with one another and give him good testimony, a good witness of him. And so it says here in Ephesians 5, it says that a husband should love his wife like his own body. He takes care of his own body. He nourishes it. He cares for it. It's just like you and I. Listen, there's something in us that we like to preserve life. And that's a great thing. It's a good thing. And, you know, it's why, let's put it in this context. You want to take care of your body. Now, some of us need to do a much better job. Otherwise, I hear that as, amen, Pastor, you better get with it. Okay. Is this, we nourish it, we eat. You know, sometimes we don't eat healthy. We, you know, Pringles. I love Pringles. I'll just tell you right now. I mean, I like potato chips to begin with, but Pringles. I was so happy. You know, I always thought the canister should be bigger. I was so happy a few weeks ago when I went through Walmart, and the Pringles, they have a mega stack now. Did you know that? And I thought if they ever came out with a bigger canister, okay, if they ever come out with a bigger canister, I'd only have to buy one. They came out with a mega stack. I still buy two. I don't know. Anyhow, you know, so we don't always eat healthy, but we nourish our body, we eat, we take nourishment. We get sick, what do? We go to the doctor. Because we want to be well. We want to take care of ourselves. You need a dentist, you go to the dentist, right? If something's being thrown at you, you cover up and protect yourself. It's what we do. It's how we take care of ourselves. Well, if we take this physical understanding of that we're supposed to, you know, take care of this body, and this is not a fitness message, by the way, for physical fitness. The spiritual principle is this, that we are Christ's body. And we are supposed to be mindful of how we care for one another, how we love one another, how we nourish one another. How when one hurts, we all hurt. I want to go through this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting with verse 12, I want you to listen to what Paul writes and the spiritual principle that comes out of this for how we're supposed to live as this body of Christ that we're supposed to nourish and take care of. You and I make up this body. It says this, "For just as the body is one, it has many members. And all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ." It's like, understand, many members. It's not just talking about a lot of people. It's talking about a body. I have many members of my body. Okay? I got feet, legs, elbows, fingers, hands, ears, eyes. All these members make up this one body. And he's saying there are many members, many people, different purposes that bring together, and we are one body, and that we're supposed to care for this body and nourish this body and take care of this body. I want us to as we go through this morning, that understand that the decisions you and I make affect this body of believers at large and here, this local body. Our decisions, we sometimes, you know, bring a segregation to our life. Here is my church life, and then here, this is my life. And we think that in my life, it's nobody else's business what I do or don't do or how I act or my attitude, whatever, and that's mine. But when I go and I'm at church and we're a body, that's different. And what I do over here is none of their business, and what I do over here doesn't affect them. It's just my life, and then this is our life together. I want you to understand that thing that we call our life, the decisions we make there have an effect on the overall body. We're going to discover that as we walk through this. It says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free." In other words, when we come to faith in Christ, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or you're a Gentile. Doesn't matter if you're black or you're white or you're brown or you are a person who has ethnicity through many different cultures. It doesn't matter if you are financially independent. Doesn't matter if you struggle economically. It doesn't matter if you're in the middle class. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you grew up on. It doesn't matter what side of the border you grew up on. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. None of that matters in the context that Christ has come for all. And in Christ, we are one body. Doesn't matter where we came from. Doesn't matter what we've done. We're one body. We may have differences and uniquenesses, but we make up one body. "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." How far would you be able to walk if you only had one member to your physical body? Let's say you were a hand. That's it. You're not going to get anywhere fast. And the other part is you won't be able to see where you're going. Right? I mean, this is real simple, but Paul's making a point here for us that there's an appreciation and respect for all members of the body, and we have different function, different parts, different giftings, different weaknesses. We need to care and nourish this body. We need to care for one another. We need to love one another. What did Jesus say? "They will know you and that you belong to me by how you love one another." The greatest tool of evangelism, if you want to call it a tool, the greatest message to a person who doesn't have faith, the greatest message to them is that it's not just about this love we preach, it's they get to see it in action on how we conduct ourselves and have relationship with one another. They'll go, "Man, they really love each other. They're really nice to each other. They're really friendly with each other. Boy, they know how to joke with each other appropriately. They're good to one another. Look at them rally together. Look at how they talk about one another. Wow. I'm not sure about this Jesus they follow, but man, I'd sure like to have relationships like they do or love each other like they do. I'd like someone to love me like that. See, they will know us by our love for one another, taking care of loving this body, not just proclaiming love, but it's who we are, how we live our life. Let's travel on in the scripture here. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make any less, it would not make it any less part of the body. I want you to get this. If the foot could speak and said, I'm not a part of the body, it can make that declaration, but even though it declares it, it doesn't change the truth that that foot is part of this body. And there's people that say, well, you know, I'm not really a part, and, you know, I don't really know anybody, and, you know, I believe in Jesus, but, you know, I'm just not really a part of it. Listen, you can say that all you want, and you can believe it if you want, but it doesn't change the fact that you're part of the body of Christ. And with that understanding that we're a part of the body of Christ, it brings responsibility and purpose into our life about where we're supposed to function and how we relate to the other members, and all of that happening so that those who can watch can go, they really are healthy and love each other. Not perfect, but man, they really love each other. Maybe that message of Christ is true. So Jesus said, they will know that you're my followers by how you love each other. You will speak loudly of Christ because of the way you love each other. How we nourish and care for the body of Christ. And it's not that we don't care for others outside of the faith. We do, certainly. But how we live relationship and responsibility with one another, it honors the Lord. Hey, come on, those of you who are parents and you have more than one child, it's so nice when the children get along. Isn't it? Instead of you traveling somewhere and your spouse is turned around in the front seat and drawing imaginary lines between your children in the back seat. And don't touch him. That belongs to you. You keep your own. No, you can't have his. I know she talks a lot. I know it's bothering you. It's bothering me too. It's innate. No, I'm kidding. So, you know, but man, if they're all getting along and they're sharing and they're happy and they're delightful, then you look at your spouse and say, do we have the right children? We have somebody else's? No. Those are the great moments. How do you think it is for the father when he sees his children loving each other? It was a beautiful image yesterday. One of the group text messages that I got from my family was Brittany and Justin's oldest daughter, you know her, they go to church here, is Libby. She just graduated first grade. I knew it was somewhere in there. And then William just graduated kindergarten, pre-K. So, you know, those of you who know them, you see them around. Well, William fell and hurt his arm or elbow or his knee. He hurt his knee. Let me get the story straight. The part that I remember was the picture I got. And so they're on the sidewalk, and he hurt his knee at the park. And so Libby's got him by the arm like she's helping him walk. I mean, when your small children do that, you just go, it's so beautiful. Life is so good in this moment. And 20 minutes later, you need to go back to that moment because now they're throwing food and screaming and yelling. But that one moment was so... Listen, it's... Yeah. See, that's how family... That's how we got to care for one another. Bystanders see that. You know what it is. I know what it is now because I take notice more because I'm not walking around with small children in my home anymore. So I'd see other young families and they're going around with children and one does something cute and does something nice to the other and I just think, that's just so great. In fact, this last week I was in Walmart and I saw a woman. She had a grocery cart. She had seven small children. There wasn't one taller than this. Seven small children with her. I stopped her. I said, hey, you know what you need? And she looked at me like, well, no, what? I said, you need just a couple more children. You see your eyes get big and flames come out. And I said, hey, I'm just joking, you know. It was just a beautiful imagery, and they were doing so well in Walmart for that brief snapshot that I had of them. But this is how we're supposed to function. Responsibility with one another. Listen. If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? The ability. You see, we're called to be different members in this body. And you might want to be doing something else, or you wish you were gifted different, or whatever it is. Listen. We need to understand that the fulfillment is in obedience to the Lord and to do and be faithful where he has us at the time and what we're called to do without envy or jealousy of somebody else. You see, understand, the moment envy or jealousy enters, we have now opened up the body to disease, an infection. It's not just you. You're part of this body. And if we start to envy or have jealousy, understand that decision and that attitude, you have infected the whole body because you're part of it. So that's the responsibility part. We need to be able to find godliness and contentment. See, the beauty is look at this. We need to remember that, the ear saying, we were all in the air, we couldn't have a sense of smell. Listen, he says, but as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them. Created us, with a hand and feet, and each one has its part in being a healthy body and complete. And listen, he arranged it says, the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. As he chose. You'll find places in Scripture where the Holy Spirit has enabled people to do certain things and spiritual giftings and all of this. He chose. You and I don't get to pick. I want to be a worker of miracles, so give it to me. No, he chooses. You see, he's the head of the body. Paul writes it. He's the head of the church, his body. He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? In other words, if we were all just detached in our part and not connected, where would the body be? Couldn't function. Couldn't speak the goodness of Christ and his mercy for people, for us. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again can the head say that to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we esteem or bestow with great honor because we give attention to it. It's tender or weaker. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. There's different needs of caring for different people in the body. If one member suffers, we all suffer together. Come on, you know what this is like. I'll tell you what it is like for me. You get up in the middle of the night. You don't want to disturb anybody. You don't want to disturb the dog because then the dog barks and everybody's awake. And then they wonder what's going on. And then you can't have your midnight snack by yourself. You're on your way in the dark, and you are on a mission to the kitchen. And you stub your toe. Your body doesn't say, oh, yeah, leave the toe here. I got to go get a snack. Your whole body forgets about the snack for that brief moment. And everything hurts. Everything's suffering. You lose even your hunger pain for a brief moment. Your trip, it's interrupted. It's like, who put that stupid suitcase there? Oh, yeah, I did last night when I came in. Yeah, you know how this works. And you recover and you limp out to the kitchen, you know, and you have your snack. The whole body, it's, ow. That was just a toe that got hit. But, you know, we're all mourning. Oh. One suffers. We all suffer. We're supposed to rally for one another. Have compassion for one another. Regardless of what's going on in our life. The body. My hunger waited. My mind left food. All so that I could grieve with my toe. They couldn't help my toe. Not much you can do for a big toe. Except just go, I'm crying with you, man. I stopped what I was doing to be here with you. Because it matters. Just like when one experiences victory, it says this. If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. When there is a victory for someone in their life that is in the body, we should all celebrate. Not with envy, not with jealousy, or with, well, I don't know if they deserve it. What do you think? Oh, yeah, wish it would have happened to me. Yeah, me too. You know, we are infecting the body. You are taking from the celebration. You're taking from the moment where we all show up and go, yay for you. We're happy. Wonderful. This is wonderful. No matter, what's going on in our life, what's challenging, what's hard, what's miserable, we take a moment and we celebrate, just like we take a moment and have compassion for the one who's troubled. It's what we do. It's what we're supposed to do. It's how we're supposed to function. It's to honestly celebrate and honestly grieve with one another. Because our choices and our attitude and who we are affect the whole. Whether this person knows that you're gossiping or slandering is irrelevant. This body, it's got a problem. There's an infection. There's a disease. There's a cancer. And your personal decision and attitude, don't think it's mine. And that's it. No, you are a part of the body, and it affects us all. It's just like when someone is touched with the grace of God, the mercy of God, and they come to faith in Christ, even to the point where they come and get water baptized. And you know what happens on those Sunday mornings? You've been here. This place explodes with praise, worship, glory to God, grace. He's gracious. Another person believes they're part of the body. It is a complete celebration that a person has come to an understanding, a revelation that they are not a captive to their past and there's hope for a future that's found in Christ alone. And that's how the body responds. Our personal decisions affect the whole. The decisions you make in your life, what you call your life or my life. Listen, you may operate as a member of the body and you might be really talented. You might be really gifted. You might be well respected because of the gift in your life or the intelligence in your life or a person of power or whatever it is, okay? And as Paul writes this, he gets down to a point because he's saying each member has their own strength and calling. It says, God appoints in the church apostles and prophets and teachers. And he says, those who do miracles, gifts of healing, those who do ministry of helps, administrating, various kinds of tongues. He's just given a sample of things that members do in a body. And then he says this, but are all of you apostles? All of you prophets? Are all of you teachers? Do all of you work miracles? Do all of you do this? Do all of you do that? The answer to those questions, it's simple. No, not all of us do. We are individual members that make up a body. And then he says this. Now I will show you a more excellent way. It's how he ends the chapter 12. And he goes into what chapter? 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And he says, you can have all these gifts and all these power, and you can have this notoriety, and you can have this title, and you can have responsibility, and you could be, a hand instead of, hair or whatever, and you feel like one's more important. You can do that. He says, but if you don't have love, if you're not nourishing and caring for this body, if you're not putting aside some of your personal preference for the sake of the common good, as Paul writes, your gift, your talent, your intelligence, your whatever, it doesn't mean anything if you don't have love. And if you have the littlest gifting or what you think is a modest thing in the body compared to maybe others, if you have love, it's accounted as something as great. You see, the lack of love trumps everything. Come on, you know how this works. Do you remember back when you were single and you were young? And you saw him or you saw her and the shell looked good. And they were, maybe they were class president or captain of whatever team, or she was the cheerleader or whatever that, all that stuff was in your life. And you go, wow. And you found them attractive. And then you went on a date and got to know them. And all he did was talk about himself. And all she did was talk about other people. She wasn't very nice. You said, I'm out of here. Or you should have said, I'm out of here. And if you married it, you brought it home, you stay with it. I'm out of here. You never looked at them as attractive again, because the lack of character, the lack of love, it didn't matter the talent or the ability. It was about the love of God or the love of people or the loving others. That's what gets the attention. That's why Jesus says, you as a body, they'll know that you belong to me by the way you love one another. It's not just by your gifts or your talents or your intelligence or your money or whatever it is. Not even by your weaknesses that show up. It's that you love one another. Caring for one another. Caring for one another to the point, and this is where I want to work to. Caring enough and being mindful of the body of Christ that when we make personal decisions in our life, we don't forget to throw in this component. Before I make this, what seems to make sense to me, am I considering my decision and how it will affect the body? I will tell you, there have been times in our life that it affected our decision on what vehicle to buy because we weren't sure what it would say to the body. There was a time that we changed the color of a vehicle because one color of the vehicle kind of looked luxurious. And this other vehicle was the same identical vehicle. It was just a different, it was blue. We liked the other one. But we said, we're going with blue. Because I'm not sure how that might affect some people. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want them to think things that just aren't true. What house we buy? I mean, do we think about the church when we make those personal decisions? How does this affect the body? And you think, that's none of their business. Well, you're part of this body. Now, you can't please everybody, and you're not going to get everybody's opinion, and there's people that they just got a problem no matter what you do. I get it. I know. We can't just be running around trying to please everybody. We'll never get anything done that is purposeful or meaningful because everybody has an opinion and not everybody's right. But when we're making decisions, we need to think, how does this affect the common good? Let's move it, make it personal here. In Romans chapter 14, we're going to jump in here. And Paul's writing, and he's telling them how to conduct themselves in relationship and in judgment with one another. Now, let me clear something up here. We're quick to say, don't judge me, don't judge me, don't. We're not supposed to judge. I want you to know that there are places in Scripture that say, do not pass judgment. And what that means is this. In the context, and we lose it in the translation, is this. We are to judge because we know each other by our fruits. But in that judging, understand that we are not to act like the judge and make final judgment on anybody. That's different. There's only one judge, and it's him. And frankly, he doesn't need our help. But you and I can certainly gather information from a person's life and say, you know what? Yeah, they're a believer. Yeah, I don't know, sure about that. But you know what? That is not supposed to consume me, because it's the Holy Spirit that comes into a person's life and brings about the change in us. And if we pronounce final judgment, we're saying they will never change, and this is my judgment, and they can be condemned. That is not your job or mine. So when people judge you, let them judge. They're supposed to know you by your fruit. How can you be evangelistic or a follower of Christ if people don't judge your life? We're not supposed to pass final judgment. Well, listen to what Paul writes, verse 13 of Romans 14. He says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. Now follow this. But rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother or sister. In other words, how you live and what you do, don't place a stumbling block for them. I'm going to interrupt this just for a moment. I want you to say three things with me. Biblical conviction. In other words, all of us, based on the Bible, should agree on biblical convictions. Things that are absolutes, like do not steal. That's not up for a vote. That's a biblical conviction. Do not steal. Now I want you to say this. Cultural conviction. Now cultural convictions are not biblical convictions. Cultural convictions are dictated by the culture. So if you go to another place in the world and you are, let's say you're on a missions trip and you're bringing them good news of the gospel and you want to love them and you want to reach out to them and you want to help them with social needs and do all of that, they will receive it and listen to you as long as you don't violate some of their cultural convictions. Their cultural conviction might be women wear a covering. Women don't wear short dresses or shorts. So when you go there to be a good testimony of Christ, you live according to their cultural conviction. It becomes yours while you're there. I'm not talking about immorality, cultural convictions that don't violate the biblical absolutes. Okay? We're talking cultural conviction. I remember an era, because I was, you know, because of my age, I remember that it being in the era when piercings in an ear started to show up on men. And I remember when my friends walked into the church, you know, kind of like they don't believe in Christ anymore, they're not saved. Because it was a cultural conviction. I mean, it was almost like it was a biblical absolute to people in the church back in that day. It's like, oh, we need to be praying for so-and-so. Look, they got a piercing in their ear. I knew they were close to the Lord. And, oh, you know. Now people can walk into the church in our culture. A woman can have 8 piercings and whatever, and they're not even limited to the ear anymore. Men can walk in with piercings and we don't even think twice about it. Culture changes. Cultures change. Now, it doesn't mean that we all got to do it. See, this comes into now the third thing. Biblical conviction, right? Cultural conviction. Third one, say this, personal conviction. That's our personal conviction. I know the biblical absolutes don't steal. Cultural conviction might be it's acceptable for me to get an earring. But my personal conviction is I don't want an earring. Or I feel like if I got an earring, I'd be doing something wrong. But for somebody else, it's fine with them. They don't struggle over it. Now, am I supposed to pass judgment on the one who has liberty to do that and I don't? If I do it, I feel guilty or wrong. If they do it, they're like, what are you talking about? Guilt for what? They have no idea. And they haven't, you know, done something. And this can spread over to other areas. As long as it doesn't violate a biblical absolute and a cultural conviction, that's a little hazy. It's because our culture changes. There's things we like and don't like. But it's culture. Personal conviction is different. It is what, if I do something, for me it's wrong. If someone else does it, for them it may not be wrong. You're like, what? Hey. Paul talked about it. This is not a new problem. We're supposed to love one another, care for one another. It doesn't mean anything goes, because the biblical absolutes are clear. The cultural convictions, some of those things are going to change, but we hold to a cultural conviction. We show appropriate respect for one another within the culture that we're in. We're not out to violate and offend the culture. That's not right. Personal convictions are just that. They're personal. But my personal convictions, if I feel a liberty to do something, I need to consider how does that impact the body in which I am a member of, a part of. Paul talks about this. I want you to listen. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother or sister. I know I am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in and of itself. This is a great phrase by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For example, money. It's just money. It's not evil. It's not good. It's just in and of itself, it's just money. But the scripture says the love of money is what? The root of all evil. The money itself is not evil. It's what happens in my heart and attitude that corrupts me. Now I am corrupt, I am infected with sin and selfishness and greed, and it will begin to change the decisions I make, and it's more important than the body. I am so consumed with money and the love of it that it doesn't matter if what the church thinks or what people think or, you know, if it makes someone stumble, this is my life. You're part of this body. We're infected. And you and I need to make better decisions in our personal life that have influence upon the body of believers. The importance of the body of Christ at large, and those here, need to be higher priority in our decision making and in our awareness of how we live our personal life. Because it affects this body. It is not just your life. Paul goes on to write, nothing is unclean in and of itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is. Let me just put it to you this way. Here's a taboo in our culture, in our church, in belief. Some of you may not even know this. There's been a standard in the Assemblies of God that you don't drink alcohol. They've treated it like it's a biblical absolute. But within the scripture, I can't find a place where it says, if you drink alcohol, that's a sin. Now, we know that drunkenness is condemned. And Paul writes things like, don't be drunk on wine, rather be inebriated with the Holy Spirit. Be under the influence of the Holy Spirit rather than alcohol. But, and this is what your personal argument here about, oh, we can drink and it's okay, and we can have wine, and Jesus drank wine. No. Let's just remember some here. For some who grew up like that, to have a glass of wine would be wrong for them. They just got a personal conviction about it. There's somebody over here who says, it's a glass of wine. I don't feel guilty. I'm not getting drunk. I'm just having a glass of wine. For them, it's not wrong. And they're both believers. The person who doesn't have the liberty to drink wine, in our human mentality, we always think that they're the most holy ones because they're not drinking wine. Or they're not having a beer. They're the most holy ones. They're the strong ones. When you look at it in Scripture here, Paul writes it this way. I'm persuaded, you know, the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean of itself, but is unclean for the one who thinks it's unclean. It's a stumbling block for them. For the person who has the liberty, it's not a big deal. I'm not sinning. I'm just having a glass of wine. Until the Holy Spirit should bring conviction to me, and there's no saying that he will. Biblical absolutes, oh, he'll convict us. Cultural convictions that we violate, he'll convict us out of respect for the culture. Personal convictions, there may be things that he will convict you of eventually. When I first came to the Lord, man, there was things I felt convicted of, and there's things I still did that I didn't feel conviction of. As time went on, there were things that I became convicted of as if he was perfecting me and changing me. And I needed to obey that. But I couldn't impose that on everybody else. That was for me. And if they had a liberty to do something, I'm not supposed to pass judgment on them as if they're not saved, just because they don't agree with my personal conviction. See, we get twisted up in everybody else's business. And now you're policing everyone. That is the Holy Spirit's responsibility, not yours or mine. We're supposed to love and encourage and care and show compassion and celebrate victories with people and get twisted up over these side things because he writes this. Listen to what he writes. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Now here it is. If you have the liberty to eat meat, he's talking about eat meat that was sacrificed to idols. Some believers, no big deal. I can eat that meat, it's just meat. Paul writes about it. Yeah, I can eat that meat, I don't care if it's sacrificed to idols, it's meat. The Lord made it, it's meat. For other people who became believers, I can't eat meat who's sacrificed to idols. Mm-mm. I can't do it. I would feel guilty. I'd feel terrible. I'd feel, okay. Paul says this. If you can eat meat sacrificed to idols, but your brother or sister in Christ can't, then we should refrain from our liberty so that it doesn't become a stumbling block for them. That's why if you're eating meat sacrificed to idols, not really happening in our culture, I don't think much. If you're eating meat that was sacrificed to idols, you don't put it on Facebook or Instagram or open some forum because one of your believer members of the body may come across it and see you promoting it and saying it's okay, and it's a stumbling block to them. It's interesting, as Paul writes us, we're going to see it, that the one who doesn't have the liberty or freedom we think is holier and stronger and just more of a Christian. The reality is that they're weaker in faith, and the one who has greater faith has more liberty. That doesn't mean they get to live how they want and violate Scripture. No. it's under personal conviction things, they may have more liberty. For them, it's not unclean or wrong. But they are stronger in the faith for this reason. They can refrain from exercising their liberty because they know their personal decision has an effect on the body of believers, and I don't want to be a stumbling block to someone. We get wrapped up in this. Paul writes, by what you eat, do not destroy one for whom Christ died. In other words, I don't care whether they stumble or not. I like this and I'm going to do it, and I don't care who sees or what anybody thinks. This is my life. And I'm telling you, you are so far from the Spirit of Christ in that. It might be true that you have liberty, but don't destroy the work of Christ and someone else and who he died for just to exercise your liberty and say, I'm okay and don't judge me. No, no, we're supposed to be stronger in faith, who have greater liberty with things, to say, I'm going to refrain for the sake of the common good. Now, listen to this. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken as of evil. For now the kingdom of God, well listen, this is the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, this is what the kingdom of God is like. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking. I know you have your personal bias. I know. Pastor, you're not preaching the truth. You got to come down on alcohol and you got to... Listen, I'm not promoting alcohol here. I am promoting the Scripture and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves with one another and how we conduct ourselves in front of one another and conduct ourselves in society so that we can have a good testimony of what the body should look like, that others would say, you're a follower of Christ. I can tell by how you love each other and consider one another and care for one another. You work out your personal convictions. That's between you and the Lord. It's personal. If it's a biblical conviction, you and I got to get this right. If it's a cultural conviction, we should not impose our freedom in the culture. Just respect the culture so that you can have a good testimony so that you don't become noise when it comes time for you to share Christ. That you're promoting this great message, but you don't have love because you didn't respect the culture. They won't listen to you. You respect their culture? They're going to listen to you. They're going to listen to the message of Christ. He goes on here about this personal conviction. The kingdom of heaven is not a matter of eating and drinking. The kingdom of heaven is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You and I, we get wrapped up in all this other stuff as if, oh, this is the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about communion, Passover, and they take communion, and Paul writes, he says, listen, because they would show up, and the people would show up, and they would eat a lot of food, and they would be gluttons, and some of them would get drunk on wine, and Paul says, listen, you're getting together and doing this, it is harmful. Don't you have homes to eat in and drink in? In other words, if you want to gorge yourself and you think getting drunk is okay or consuming, listen, do it in the privacy of your home. Don't do it out here and hurt and be a stumbling block to other believers. So here's the thing. If you have a liberty to eat meat sacrificed to idols or have a glass of wine, if you do, you do it in the privacy of your life. And you don't post it on stuff. You do it in your personal life so that no one knows about it. You have a personal liberty to keep it in your personal life so that it's not a stumbling block to others. That is a person of strong faith because they are considering the effect of what they do in their life based upon what's the common good. Those of you who don't eat meat sacrificed to idols, don't impose it on other people. It's a personal conviction. It's between them and the Lord. It's between them and the Lord. You don't need to police them. But they shouldn't be doing it out in public or in front of you. What does it say about the body of believers and how does it affect us? See, in our decisions, we need to consider How does this affect the body? How does this affect my brothers and sisters in this body, other members, whether they are weak or whether they have liberty? I got to make my decisions based on consideration for them. It's not just my life. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by people. I don't need your approval. Wait a minute. If you have a liberty and you don't exercise it for the sake of a stumbling block, people approve of you and your testimony. I'm not telling you to live a double life. I'm not telling you sin in private and then act like something else and holy and righteous in public. No, no. Remember, what you're doing back here is not sin to you. It's okay. It's okay. To someone else it is. So we don't put a stumbling block in front of them. See? Consideration for the body. And I'm not going to police everybody out of consideration of the body. I'm not going to condemn anybody. I'm not going to try to get somebody to feel guilty because they don't agree with my personal conviction. This is my life. And I don't get to have to get tangled up in somebody else's business. Quit being a busybody and mind your own business. Don't worry about what your foot's doing. You're the hand. Oh, well, he's not doing it right. Oh, yeah, I know. I wish I was a foot. And now you hurt the foot and you walk with a limp. See, we. Well, they're wounded because of what you've been saying about them. Where's the Spirit of Christ in that? Do not, for the sake of food or anything, destroy the work of God. Verse 20. Do not, for the sake of food, whatever your liberty is, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats or drinks. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes a brother or sister to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Biblical conviction, it's for all of us. Cultural conviction, we live within this culture, we need to pay attention to it. Personal conviction, you work it out between you and the Lord and quit passing judgment on one another. We need to heighten our awareness and our commitment to the decisions we make in our personal life, that they are not just ours. We are part of this body. How I act and the attitude I have when I come to this place, I'm contaminating the body if things are not right in me. We want to see more presence of the Lord. We want to see more glorious things. We want to see the Christ show up in this place and do marvelous things for people. Sin has always separated us from God and caused us to struggle. You think if we took care of some things in our personal life, I took care of some things in my personal heart and life, and that when we get together, we'd be a healthier body? More of the presence of the Lord would be revealed instead of hindered by sin or the way we mistreat each other. Why don't you stand up, please, all over this room? I know I went a little long today. Forgive me. But remember, the kingdom of heaven is not about food. I cut into your lunchtime. The kingdom of heaven is about righteousness. It's about peace. It's about joy in the Holy Spirit. Those are the majors. Eating meat sacrificed to idols, some of these other things that we have as personal, they are not the majors. But how we live them out, that becomes a major deal to the Lord. Major deal to Him. So the things that should be private, keep private. Be careful doing your selfies. It reveals a background of where you're at. And you may not be doing anything wrong, but it could be a stumbling block to somebody else. And out of courtesy and worship to the Lord, and courtesy and health for one another, we restrain our liberties in their presence. For the sake, we don't want to destroy the work of God for someone who Christ died for. For the other side of the fence, would you quit stressing about what everybody else is doing? Mind your own business. Love the body and understand that personal convictions vary, but biblical convictions are absolute. And one of the biblical convictions is how we live out our personal convictions in relationship with one another. That is an absolute of how we're supposed to conduct ourselves.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.